Welcome to We Are The Watchers.
It is We Are The Watchers, and this is episode 137. Tom, we are spent.
No, I'm pooped.
We shouldn't be, because we should be full of energy and life, but I think that 2020 is sucking the life out of everyone.
For me, it's school holidays, and so I am back on board with the full-timing gig. Anyway, we're having a ball. We're doing plenty of fun stuff, but it just means that when we've come to our usual record, we're pooped. We've not got any guests this week. It's just you and me. And I don't know about you, but I reckon this one, let's play Good Game's a Quick Game.
I reckon we can do that.
Or, as I imagine the French might say, shit or get off the pot.
That is in French, right? Because I think I'm fluent now.
Oui.
Greetings, subscribers and members of the Watchersville latest newsletter. As the town gears up for the great, spelt G-R, number 8-T, great 8K debate this weekend, the council would like to remind you that there's no need to try to stuff your 4K TV into the red bin this week. If the debate concludes that there's no way people could possibly watch Avatar on anything but 8K, then you can chuck it away. Speaking of the debate, it is sold out, so you'll have to tune into the live stream. Chat will be put into slow mode so that all messages can be seen, but moderator Happy Dark Lord 87 will have the power to delete anything he deems offensive, so keep it clean, guys. It's official. Marianne Simpson has watched Mulholland Drive. After years of telling people she would get around to it soon, she has. She said it made absolutely no sense and she will watch it a second time, soonish. And finally, the drive-thru is open again, which is very exciting, as it's the only place in the county where you can watch all seasons of the 90s show Dinosaurs. However, management has made a request people stop quoting lines from Grease while the screening is on. There have been complaints from the audience that they can't hear famous lines like, "Not the mama," over people screaming, "Coming through, lady with a baby." That's it for now. Stay safe and happy, all residents of Watchersville. All right. Well, we've got some news stories each. You said you've just got a couple of rapid fire ones.
Yep. There's ones that I just read the headline of, and I have as much information as your regular internet user. How exciting. Apparently, Jason Momoa is going to voice Frosty the Snowman in a live action movie.
I wasn't expecting that sentence.
No, what an assemblage of words.
Yeah, that's okay. All right. Well, we'll get excited about that when that happens. Are they aiming for this year?
No, wouldn't be this year. That involves mocap and all sorts. So I reckon maybe Christmas next.
Okay.
But
all right.
Who knows when they can film and produce some things again.
Yeah. I'm impressed that you managed to find some casting news.
There you go.
Oh, I did find a sort of a casting news thing, sort of. So the UK government are giving some Hollywood leading US actors and like crew exemptions from its 14-day quarantine so that production of films can start back up again. So Tom Cruise is one of them so that he won't have to self-isolate when they continue. I think they had already started Mission Impossible 7 near London.
Yep.
I'm pretty sure they'd already started. So the UK has a list of countries whose citizens can enter England, which makes sense. The US is not one of them, which makes sense because it's pretty bad over in the US at the moment in terms of COVID and stuff like that. But the reason they get the exemption is because they'll be working in a bubble. So production, crew and actors will be the bubble and they really can't go outside of said bubble and, you know, they can't go for a wander down to the shops or anything like that. So that's why that's happening. The reason why the UK government's really into getting this happening is because they want the money, of course. They want the money.
Jobs.
I think I read something like almost $10 billion worth of revenue will be made. Well, if 2020 had been normal, almost £10 billion would have been made from TV and movie production over there. So it makes sense.
Yep. They need to restart.
Yep.
Look, something that I was not expecting a restart of, but sure, is Beavis and Butthead are coming back.
So are they getting the same actors, I wonder? I don't know. I don't even know who did those voices. It could have easily been one person.
I think it was all Mike Judge.
It makes sense. When I think about their voices, I'm like, I can't tell a distinction.
I largely missed Beavis and Butthead. I knew of them because of the Red Hot Chili Peppers Love Roller Coaster video that they did the soundtrack for the film. But yeah, it was a wee bit before my time, but a lot of people I know are quite excited that they're coming back. Everyone made various forms and variations of a joke about needing TP for their bunghole. Which is a very 2020 thing,
but
somehow a very 1992 thing.
All at the same time. I think I saw that movie.
I did. I cannot remember a single thing. I imagine Henry Rollins is in it.
Probably.
Because it seems like a very Henry Rollins thing to be, or an Iggy Pop. Or
both.
Or both.
I do remember as soon as you said that, I was like, oh, he said that 4 million times in that movie, that bunghole line.
Yeah, and he pulled his shirt up over his head and said, I need TP for my bunghole.
Yeah, and I kept being like, what's he saying?
TP for my bunghole. Yeah, so I don't remember enough of it to really weigh in properly on this one, but cool. Mike Judge is always a good thing.
Yeah, and I was just thinking about the two big sort of cartoons of that era, apart from The Simpsons, but it was Beavis and Butthead and Ren and Stimpy, and both were really weird.
Yeah, I love Ren and Stimpy.
I wonder if Ren and Stimpy could come back.
Well, if you miss Tom Kenny, he's over on SpongeBob. So, and SpongeBob gets pretty out there. So.
It does. It's a weird one as well. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
And that's been going for years.
Where we're going, we don't need roads. Unless you're listening to this in your car or on a bus or, hang on, we actually really do need roads. Guys, can we get some roads?
I saw that Pharrell Williams is working on a new doco series for Netflix called Voices of Fire. So the show's going to follow his uncle, who's a bishop, in Pharrell's hometown of Hampton Roads, Virginia. So his uncle, Ezekiel, his name is going to go out around the hometown looking for like undiscovered gospel choir singing talents. Their goal for it's a limited doco series. The goal is to have like different people so that they can follow their stories and have their backstories told as they all come together and start singing. So that should be interesting. I'm pre-upset about the fact that we will not see Pharrell in it with that hat that he used to wear about 5 years ago, because I think he's retired that hat.
Yeah, hat got played out.
Yeah. So I think he's just back to baseball caps, I think.
And great shoes. He did a very, very cool line with Adidas. Oh, he does lines all the time, but there was a particularly cool human line last year from Adidas.
Did you get any?
I did. Awesome. Purple.
Nice. Yeah. Good colour.
So a bit of a shake-up in the comic book world. I mean, there's been plenty of big shake-ups this year, but Dark Horses had a bit of a rough go a few years ago. They lost the rights for the Star Wars comics, which they'd had since the 70s.
Wow.
They went, obviously, to Marvel, and so Marvel's been doing Star Wars comics the last few years. This week it's been announced that Predator and Aliens, which have been two very big properties for Dark Horse as well, are now going to Marvel because they are both Fox properties.
Damn.
Owned in that. So the license there is ending. So that's a real shame and a knock for Dark Horse, but it makes some very cool potential crossovers for Marvel Universe moving forward. I guarantee you within 2 years we are going to see a Predator versus Venom miniseries
of comics.
Yes, the Predator coming to Earth to hunt the Venom alien.
If we're thinking crossovers, who could you see like Alien or like is in the comic, is in the Alien comic, is Ripley there or not?
Well, there's been all sorts of different storylines and stuff like that. And like the Alien vs. Predator movies are actually adaptations of the comic book storylines.
Oh, that makes
sense. They've done Batman vs. Aliens Superman vs. Predator, all this sort of stuff. They've mixed with DC before, but they've never really mixed with Marvel. I don't think it will be with Ripley because that's set far, far, far in the future anyway. I would see them much more naturally folding into the current Marvel Universe or doing a side story. I think what it will end up being, as I said, the two storylines I see playing out are Predator coming to Earth to hunt either Venom or Spider-Man because there's some great Spider-Man stories. He has a villain called Kraven the Hunter who is a big game African hunter. Take that to the next level and you've got the Predator. The other storyline I see them doing is kind of like Marvel Zombies where they have a big event that destroys the world and there's five issues as the world falls apart. I could see that the aliens come to Earth and infect Spider-Man.
Oh, that'd be interesting.
And the fact that he has radioactive blood plus all the abilities that he does have would make for a very lethal alien Spider-Man combination that once that DNA gets back to the Queen, Earth's in serious trouble.
You're in big trouble, mister.
Yep, Marvel, if you want, you can hit me up and I'll give you some more ideas.
Yeah, just get them to speak to your people.
Yep. Hey, you know how I mentioned Jason Momoa playing Frosty the Snowman with some pretty weird casting? There was some other casting that I don't even know if this is actually going to happen, but if it is, wowzers. Chris Hemsworth, I'm underlining his name for Viv, who I know is listening. Chris Hemsworth might be playing Hulk Hogan.
Right. Okay. So my mind immediately went to the Vacation reboot kind of thing that they did that where he played, was it Audrey's husband, I think?
Yeah.
And I can imagine him sort of playing like that, but a little like turning the dial up a little bit more, but that kind of comedy approach.
Well, I don't know if it's going to be a comedy. I don't think it's going to be comedy.
Oh, you still think it's going to be more serious?
Well, considering what's happened to Hulk over the last few years of being sued and counter-suing and lots of truths about his character coming to light and perhaps him not being the great American hero that everyone saw back in the day that was presented to, it might be more of a biopic, darker.
Yeah, right, take. Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. Do you think he'll wear like a wig or will they shave bits of his hair?
I really hope he commits enough that he takes the top off. Yeah. He'll have a fantastic moustache. There's no question about that. But I am concerned for the ongoing effects of having to use that much bleach and tanner.
Yeah, the tanning situation is going to be extreme because I don't think I've seen him that tan. I'm sure he has a tan. He lives in Byron Bay, like he surfs and stuff. But
he doesn't go orange.
No. Like
Hulk Hogan was the precursor for Trump of going full orange and glistening. He was all, baby oil everywhere. So, the poster of Hemsworth shirt off, ready to wrestle in the ring, ripping his shirt. Like
the white shirt.
Hulkamaniac.
Yeah.
Ripping that in half. That's the poster already selling itself.
Yeah.
But the tagline will be something like what you're gonna do and like recreating the tagline. But the poster will be zeroing in on the angst on his face. So he's ripping the shirt, but it's not in the joy that the crowd sees. Angst about what's going on behind the scenes.
Yeah, within. Yes. Powerful move. And a great opportunity for some amazing vintage costumes.
Oh, yeah. Mm. Get the crew from Glow on the blower.
Yeah, that's right. They're ready. They're ready to go.
Making more sense than when Joey and Rachel hooked up. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
I saw that Charlize Theron has spoken about, because, we already knew that George Miller's doing like a prequel of kind of Mad Max prequel, but it's going to be a Furiosa prequel. Yep. So he's already said that he wants to have it set back when she would be about in her early 20s, meaning, sorry, Charlize, you're not getting cast. So somebody asked her about it. She said she can't help but be disappointed. She said, it's a tough kind of one to swallow. She said, listen, I fully respect George, if not more so after the aftermath of making Fury Road with him and all that sort of stuff. But she said it is a little heartbreaking for sure because she really loves that character. And she said even, how did she put it? She said, even if I was able to create a tiny bit of that character, like it's still part of her. It's kind of sad for her to see it go. Which,
oh, surely she can show up for a bookending cameo, sitting around a campfire telling her daughter the story of
almost like Princess Bride kind of thing.
Yeah, why not?
I
know it's not ideal. It's not what she wants.
It's not what she wants. She wants to be the hero, the action hero. I think that's why she liked Mad Max so much, because she got to be that sort of action hero.
Yeah, but her being younger makes it difficult because you can't have Tom Hardy back either.
No.
Because it was already weird having him that age rather than Mel Gibson of Timelines. It all got very convoluted anyway. I see where that's going. I hope we get the origin for the Doof Warrior. The flaming guitar dude.
Yeah.
That's important.
Just a whole movie just for him.
Yeah. I got two things for the CW. Last things here. One is they've cancelled Katie Keene, which was the Riverdale spinoff.
Oh, really?
I want to say Riverdale. It might have been Sabrina. I can't remember.
So is that only one series?
It was one season. And I imagine that it's partly timing of it launched half season this year.
Yeah.
This sort of stuff. And, you know, ratings weren't great anyway. And
now they can't make it. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
But Stargirl, which I'm absolutely loving, and that's on DC Universe season one, I think is also on HBO Max or something, or Go or one of them. That's been showing on the CW in the States a day after.
Mm-hmm.
Moving forward, season two, it's confirmed that they're getting, which is fantastic. And it will be moving properly to the CW. So that does open up the options of it, of Stargirl appearing on Supergirl or Batwoman or crossing over with the others at some point. I'm just happy that it's continuing.
Yeah, yeah. I remember you were rapt that it was happening, and then you were rapt, I think, even with the first episode, you were in.
I am really enjoying it's very cool to see a generational take. I mean, we've seen plenty of that before with Robin and, you know, different handing over things, but this is more inheriting. But there's this – Luke Wilson's character is really unique in this sort of setup, in that he's got survivor's guilt and he's completely broken from what happened with the first team he was part of. And so he's constantly applying the brakes, and having that voice of reason in this mix is really unusual, because normally that person is – Alfred or someone who's left behind, doesn't go out on the mission, and, you know, they're the voice in the ear but doesn't have an effect on the final thing, whereas this is someone who can actually step in and stop situations from occurring. Anyway, I'm loving the show. It's awesome.
How many episodes have you gotten? I feel like it's
I think
it's not a sure season, is it?
I've 7 or 8 so far.
Okay.
I think we're about halfway through first season.
That sounds good.
The only program dumb enough to cross the streams. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
Good news. Netflix has added a new feature called Remove From Row. So basically lets you get rid of stuff that you have absolutely no intention of watching, that's on your continue watching file or row. They call them rows.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
A few things in there that someone, I won't say who, recommended a few comedians that I within 2 minutes realized were not my sense of humor that have sat there.
Yeah.
Continue watching.
Yeah.
No, I don't want to finish that guy.
Yeah, I think it's kind of strange that it wasn't an option for so long. Because, I mean, so many people, like, I mean, we all do it. We check something out and we're like, not really in the mood. Maybe I'll watch it later. And you go to watch it. Well, no, you see the option there to watch it later and you're like, you know what, I'm never going back to that. I mean, eventually they do drop off, but it takes ages. So it's great that they've got this option.
I'm hoping that also plays into like the algorithm, so it stops making recommendations based on that, because that's the other part that's really annoying.
Very annoying, because you're like, I don't want to watch a Jason Statham movie that was somebody else accidentally watching it on my account, you know, that sort of thing. Not that I've got anything against Jason Tatum. So I don't know why the name popped in my head. But
I was going to say, don't be,
I know,
don't be some close personal friend of the show, Jason Tatum.
I know.
He sent in a really good quiz a few weeks ago and you didn't even use it.
We even named it an episode after him.
We did.
About diving. So this is what Netflix has said. So
we should name this episode Not Statham Around.
Let's see if we remember by the time we go to publish it. Probably not. Netflix said when you hide titles from your viewing activity, they won't appear in Netflix as a movie or TV show that you have watched. They won't be used to make recommendations, there you go, to you unless you watch them again. Hiding titles from viewing activity will also remove them from your continuing watching now, but they do say titles may take up to 24 hours to disappear from your account.
Okay.
So if it's still there, don't worry. It will go.
Wait for the magic Netflix fairy to creep in at night.
Little wand. Any other news stories?
I saw a trailer that I had a good chuckle at.
Oh, yeah?
I believe must have been last year we talked about a film called An American Pickle, which is a Seth Rogen upcoming movie of Seth Rogen playing against Seth Rogen. 100 years ago, he works in a pickle factory, falls into a vat and gets pickled, and 100 years later climbs out. Everyone he knows is dead. Except his great-great-grandson or great-grandson or maybe just grandson or some, I don't know, a relative, and a younger Seth Rogen is there to help him try and find his way in the world. And it looks far more serious than that premise suggests.
Because when you say that premise, I think Futurama.
Encino Man.
Encino Man. Yeah.
Which, what's that called in the States? That's called something else, isn't it?
Is it really? I didn't know. I just thought that's what they called it. I had no idea.
The Brendan Fraser movie.
Yeah.
We have Encino Man because we know it as Encino. But I'm sure it's called something else.
Oh, wow. You've blown my mind. Let us know if you do know the name, thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com. Please.
This looks more to be like, these guys sat down and watched Captain America a bunch and were like, hang on, if you were frozen for that long and came out, you wouldn't adjust well.
Mm.
Like, even if you've got missions or things to do, you're not going to be able to adjust well. It would fry your brain.
Yeah, yeah.
And, so it looks to be more of a take on that, which is cool.
That is cool. And I've got some more Seth Rogen-y stuff to talk about a little bit later on in the podcast.
Oh, wow.
I know. Exactly. Yeah, there was a fair bit of that. I forgot to say, the quiz today is actor-specific. It's about one particular actor. And I was inspired by something that I watched this week. So just a little tease. Little tease for you.
All right. Consider me teased.
Got a watching suggestion? Email thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com.
Let's get into some watching suggestions then. I've done a little bit of watching, some older and new stuff. I think probably you're in the same boat simply because of the fact that it's hard to find new things.
I've got one new thing.
Yeah.
One thing that returned that I'll just mention briefly. And one thing that I did, I went somewhere.
You went somewhere?
I know, what a novel idea.
It really is. Okay, I think I want to know that one first. Where did you go?
Okay, so it's not a watching recommendation, but the next time you're in Sydney, whenever that is, King's Comics has finally reopened.
Now, nice.
It is a world-respected comic book store. They've won awards over the years. It's one of the cleanest, brightest-looking setups around. I can say that with some authority. I've been to a lot of comic book stores around the world.
Mm.
A few years ago, they had to shift from the location they'd been in many years, quite suddenly. And then they were set up in one spot and then they were made to shift from that spot again. Anyway, they finally got their forever home and they were just about ready to open when the world shut down. And they used that time to kick things up a notch even further, getting ready for when they were finally able to open. They had their grand reopening on Saturday last week, and boy oh boy, it is schmick. It is a two-story store.
Wow.
Right, like a street, one street over from the QVB, which is the most historic building in Sydney, in the shopping district. And it's kind of, I don't know, it's hard to, like, the statues everywhere and the lighting's done in a really cool way. So it kind of feels like you're in a secret lair. And there's a life-size statue of the Hulk, who's
of course
very, yeah, very unimpressed with a balcony. And a life-size Spider-Man that's balanced up on top of one of the lights that you don't really notice until you get close and then you spot him at the last moment. So, but the thing that's really cool is every comic store, everyone sorts by publisher. So you go to your Marvel section, your DC section, whatever. These guys instead have sorted by genre. So if you're into drama or teen romance or manga or whatever it is, there's a dedicated smaller section with stuff that's relevant to you.
I really like that idea because it almost allows for discovery of new stuff.
That's just it. These guys are really clever because they've opened it up more like a bookshop rather than a straight comic bookshop. They've still got the walls that have the new releases done by publisher, which is your standard comic book way.
Yeah.
But all the books and the trades and the graphic novels and things, they're all sorted really thoughtfully in a way that someone new to buying comic books or more interested in expanding further stuff, you know, you love The Witcher. They've got a Witcher shelf.
Ooh, I might have to go check it out.
This is what I mean. The guys have done a really good job. So anyone in Sydney who's got the chance, go and visit them. It's primo. And when we're allowed to come and visit, make sure you do.
Yeah, for sure. So I wanted to ask about, because you said it was two stories. Does does the lower level feel completely different to the upper level, or is there sort of, does that lair feeling go upstairs as well?
Upstairs is a little busier just by the nature of things they've got up there. So it's a bit more of an exploring, and there's some nooks and things where statues are hidden away. Downstairs is a lot more open, but downstairs is it's what they call long boxes, which are boxes filled with back issues, previous issues from years past. And I had a quick dig through, and there's some really, really cool stuff in there going back to the 60s and the 70s.
Cool.
It's presented in a way at the moment that is quite socially distance responsible. I imagine if and when things go back, then they can fit a bit more in there. But these guys have got a fantastic warehouse that they've had for decades. And that's where they've been working while the shop's been shut. So they've still been able to run the website and fulfill everyone's orders and this sort of stuff. And the finds that they've made in the warehouse while they've been out there lately were all there for opening day. And, oh, man, some crazy stuff.
It must have been nice to get back to not only some normality but, like, new. Like, it's new. That's fun.
They've been wanting their Forever store for a couple of years.
Yeah.
And so to be able to get that and to go and celebrate with them on their opening day. And everyone there was just beaming with pride. So it was stoked. It was great.
That's awesome.
Good friend of the show, Levins, he got to go to a preview event, The Lucky Devil. Yep.
That's fun.
Oh, no, it's fun. It's fun. Look, next time you're in the city, go and have a look.
Yeah.
I'm sure you'll see a couple of things that were pretty good. Shay and I had a whale of a time.
Awesome. Now, I watched something on Disney Plus that has been, like, advertised to me on the internet recently.
Okay.
Like every time I pretty much put YouTube on or, you know, whatever, that pre-roller ad has been for the movie Artemis Fowl. Artemis Fowl, I should say. And I thought, you know what? I will watch it because I had a couple of hours on Sunday. Let's just relax and watch. Now, obviously, it was designed for the viewing of someone younger. So I'd probably say preteens would be about appropriate. But it was right up my alley in that it was, you know, kind of like almost Indiana Jonesy, Lara Croft, Uncharted kind of thing, where this guy, Artemis Fowl, is a collector, but he collects slightly different things. And then he goes missing, and his son, who's about 12, I'd say, Artemis Fowl Jr., has to try and find him. And it's set in Ireland, so there's a lot to do with, like, Ireland's got a lot of mythical creatures, you know, fairies and that kind of thing. So there's a lot in there. And Dame Judi Dench is in it with very stylized, amazing hair. She looks like she's having a lot of fun in her character, as well as Josh Gad is there, looking a little bit like Hagrid. A little bit, not as enormous though, but there's a storyline to all of that. I thought it was a lot of fun. They're clearly setting it up to be a series of movies, which I think a lot of people who watch it will enjoy and get psyched about.
So the way it's been pitched to me was teenage James Bond, no magic, takes on the world of Harry Potter.
Yeah, I'd say that's almost completely appropriate. At one point in time, I thought, oh, I think Shay might like this, but there are a couple of little bits in it that I thought, oh, she might be a year or two too young because it might be a little bit scary. Just for now.
To give you some context, we watched Princess Bride the other day.
Yeah.
And she bawled her eyes out when she thought Inigo Montoya was done for. Bawled. So, yeah, there's a whole bunch of things that I was about to hit play on that I've held off on.
Yeah.
No Jurassic Park for a while.
No, I'd say Jurassic Park's a little off. I'd say you could put Artemis Fowl in before Jurassic Park, but, yeah, maybe a year or two for her. Okay. But I think there's enough adventure and it looks great. Like, it's beautiful. It's such a stunning-looking movie with the CGI and everything, and the costume design is really, really gorgeous. If you've got Disney Plus, check it out.
Imagine being magically whisked away to Delaware. Hi, I'm in Delaware. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
So the one that I'm talking about that's new, it's not technically new. It's been going for a couple of weeks. However, the season finale just happened, and that is a show that they've been promoting really heavily in Australia here called Last One Laughing. This is the one with Rebel Wilson hosting.
Yep.
And ten comedians locked in a room for 6 hours. And if you laugh, you're eliminated. This is on Amazon Prime in the States, which is why I'm talking about it now, because they've just put the full season there.
Mm.
And I held off this morning I could watch the last episode. Well, look, I'll be honest. I haven't watched the rest. I bunched them all up.
Yeah.
And then I binged the whole thing last night.
Awesome.
Because I know enough comedians in real life that if you're going to watch an experience of them going insane, you need to watch it how they did it. So 6 hours of insanity in half-hour chunks across the weeks would have been really funny. But watching it in one block, I saw two people lose their minds and not just like a little bit, like absolutely disgrace themselves on what would normally be Big Brother week 5.
Okay. Level. I don't think I'm giving anything away because I've only seen the trailer. The trailer, that and Artemis Fowl have been the two things that I've been thrown at. There's one where there's, I won't say who it is, but there's a male comedian in just his jocks.
Oh, that's what they show in the trailer. So, look, the two reasonably big names in the mix there for guys, there's sort of Sam Simmons, who UK comedians will know as Daddy Kangaroo on Peppa Pig. He's been on 8 out of 10 Cats. Basically, he's a dude that is bald and then shaves his head further but keeps a ring around Homer style and has a big, fat, bushy moustache. And is insane. And he's known for being absurdist and very silly, and he does some of the most random stuff I've seen in my life on this show. The other person that is fantastic is Woodley.
I knew you were going to say him. Because he's in the trailer. Well, I think they show all of them. But when I saw him, I went, I just think he's hilarious anyway. But the facial expressions, I'm like, that's gonna make people crack.
So the brilliant part of this casting is that everyone, like, I'd seen trailers for it. I was like, oh, yeah, this should be pretty good. And then Ed Cavalier's in the mix. I'm like, okay, he's done a lot of these improv shows in the past where it's don't laugh.
Yeah.
So they've got the cyborg, the non-breaker. And then there's a brilliant comedian named Becky Lucas that they've got in the mix. And she is a deadpan bitch. Sis says the meanest things to people constantly. So they went through and like strategically cast all these different styles of comedians that will clash.
Mm.
And then they got Woodley. And Woodley is just a chameleon. Mm. And no matter what anyone else does, he comes to their level instantly. Mm. And the show was phenomenal. I did not give it the credit it deserved going in of like, yeah, this should be pretty good. Mm. I didn't think that, wow, it goes some places.
I saw an ad for, I'm pretty sure it's the exact same idea, but it was with a different sort of production company, but they weren't using the comedians. They were using people that were funny within their production house. And I was like, yeah, sure. Oh, I'm not really, that's not really something I'm, but as soon as comedians came into the mix, I went, this is where it's going to work.
And it is. You are watching some people that, like, Anne Edmonds, oh, my God, she was so you were watching some people that are at the top of their game in parts of the art that don't necessarily translate to big public following.
Mm.
So, you know, these aren't the guys that sell out the Opera House every week on this sort of stuff. These are far more working comedians, but they are at the top of their game. And, you know, they've been allowed to bring in props and have things ready in advance and this sort of stuff. And once they work through that and they've run out of material, watching these people come up with material and watching the differences in style. Mm. So you've got someone like Sam Simmons who does not play well with anyone. He is abrasive and difficult and amazing, but he does not ever say yes and. He shuts down ideas. Whereas then you've got the whole opposite of that spectrum is Woodley, yeah, who just is flowing with everything. Yeah. And then you've got this bitchy girl sitting in the corner shooting everyone down. Americans, please watch this show for a fantastic sample of what Australian comedy can be.
Yeah.
When we are not trying to appeal to a global audience, yeah, when we're just trying to make each other laugh. And that's, mm, I think that's the beauty of this show, of these people forget that they're on a TV show. And at the same time, they never forget because they're always trying not to laugh. But these are people that their only happiness in life comes from making people laugh.
Mm.
So it's just a constant squirm. And, oh, what a great social experiment.
Oh, that's awesome. I'm really glad. So do you reckon they'll do another one when they can?
The second they can.
Awesome.
Become a watcher on Facebook. Facebook.com/WeAreTheWatchers.
The other thing I watched was on Netflix. I watched Breakfast, Lunch and Dinner with David Chang. Now, this is the one that I was talking about.
Yes.
In regards to Seth Rogen being in it. In fact, he was the first episode. He hung out with, I don't think how many episodes. There weren't many. I think maybe only 4 episodes. So Seth Rogen is the first person that David Chang hangs out with. They go to Vancouver, cool, and they have breakfast, lunch and dinner together at different restaurants or you know, eating places that the host, basically Seth, is hosting Vancouver hosting David in Vancouver and taking him to places that he really likes to eat. I reckon, after watching a few of them, I reckon they do them over a couple of days because I don't know how they can eat everything. Like, they're eating big meals. Even if the cast is eating the majority of what's left after they, you know, press stop on the video, there's so much food. And also with Seth Rogen, there was a lot of weed. They were smoking a lot. And what was really funny was that Seth Rogen was doing that laugh in the beginning, and it was really obvious he was a bit nervous and uncomfortable because he kept doing it like it was a nervous thing. And then as they progressively got through the day or the weed, he kind of lost that, and at one point in time they were in a maze getting lost while smoking. It was very funny, but it just makes you really jealous that you can't go to amazing places and just eat.
I want someone to take the dishes away after I've finished eating.
Yeah. Oh, there's That is perfect. That is perfectly said. So the other people that he hung out with was Chrissy Teigen. They're in Marrakesh, so that's pretty cool. They
Ooh,
go
la.
And eat a lot of different sorts of food, hang out
I
at another
John
family's house.
I bet John Legend was pretty jealous.
Well, they did call him at one point because they were sitting, looking out over this beautiful view, and they were talking about how they were going to start this new show. I can't remember what they called it. It was something ridiculous. Anyway, they're like, oh, but we need a theme song. So she called John up and said, John, could you just sing these two words? And he sang it. He go, thank you very much. And then at the end of the episode, just before the credits, they'd gotten someone to, like, a graphic designer to make a logo for this show that doesn't exist with John Legend singing it, but over the phone. So it's
nice.
It was really funny. Who else was there? They had, I'm trying to think. Well, the last episode was Kate McKinnon. Now, I have spoken to you about this episode before, but it was off air. They were in Cambodia because that's one place that Kate McKinnon wanted to go to. And I was interested because.
Yeah, for a holiday in Cambodia.
What
a song.
Is it? By who? Not Kate McKinnon.
I want to say the Dead Kennedys, but I have a feeling a lot of straight edge punks will be shaking their fists at me right now if I'm wrong.
Yeah, so I was interested to see if she would lose her persona like Seth Rogen did.
Sure, she'd turn it off.
Yeah, at times she did, but only for brief moments. I think she's one of those people that if there's a camera on her, she's that Kate. Kind of like, I remember because my mum's a teacher and I remember going into her classroom when I was younger, and she would have a completely different voice when speaking to students. And then when you would ask her to do that voice outside of the classroom, she couldn't do it because that's who she is in that classroom. That's her persona.
That's nothing like talking to you off air.
No, what do you mean?
Exactly like talking to you off air.
Yeah, so Kate never, it was just her the whole time. And I could see David trying to get her to be off camera Kate, but it never happened. But it was still an enjoyable episode.
I'm sure you've got to ramp up to someone of the level of a Louis Theroux or a proper get under the skin interviewer to crack someone's shell like that
for several hours.
No,
as well.
no diss on.
But David's a chef, comedy. You know. Like, I mean, he's still a very personable host on the show. But yeah, it's.
He's not going to have the balls to ask the same. Like, I don't know if you saw that clip of Louis interviewing Chris O'Dowd the other day.
No,
and he just goes to the jugular and he's like, "So, when all this COVID stuff kicked off, you're in this video of celebrities singing Imagine."
That's right, he was too.
That some people didn't. It wasn't popular with everyone, and like Louis just dances around it for a bit. And then finally he's just like, so why did you do that thing that a lot of people didn't care for? Chris O'Dowd throws his hand up. He's like, oh, look, I thought it was for charity. Kristen Wiig asked me to do it. If she asked you to do something, you do it. I thought, you know, Gal Gadot's really involved with charity. It's probably a charity thing.
No.
And Louis was like, well, that'd be the most uncharitable thing of all to make children listen to that song, idiot. So, yeah, I see what you mean. I love an interviewer that's got the cojones to go in and ask a killer question like that.
Yeah, yeah. And, that's a thing that some people can do and other people can't. And he tried. Like, I think he got his money's worth. I mean, Netflix got their money's worth
trying to get that
to happen.
The one that surprises me at the quality of stuff they can get out of people is Bear Grylls, but I think he's got the added advantage of spending a day or two physically breaking someone to the point of exhaustion before he comes in with some really, really clever questions. But, yeah.
Just really quickly, there was the LA one with Lena Waithe was the other. She was cool. She was really awesome. They ate some amazing food. Delicious looking stuff. And they were, I mean, obviously he's very willing to try everything, sort of. He says he does have his limits. He's not eating brains. But Yeah, they were just trying all different sort of stuff. They ate at a bowling club. They ate at a Chinese restaurant at a bowling club, and they were like, "This stuff is delicious." Who would have ever thought to go to a bowling club for amazing food?
Some of the best ribs I ever had was it was at a bowling alley in Top Ryde.
Huh.
Years ago. But yeah, I completely believe it. There's plenty of good restaurants in bowling alleys in the States.
Whenever we're allowed over there, have to try.
Yep.
Did you watch anything else?
Not really that we can. We don't really need to go in. I was just going to say American Pickers came back for another season. Which is cool, but they're not, like, it's clearly filmed a long time ago.
Okay, so I was going to ask.
It is weird seeing them dig around in people's yards.
Yeah, can I touch all of these things without a face mask or gloves? Yeah. Because we were talking about that last week. We were saying that could be a show that could be filmed.
I think they could continue filming it, but the stuff that they're airing now, I think they filmed last year. Yeah. So who knows when they'll catch up.
Well, do you want to do a quiz then?
I do.
So I did say that this was specific to a particular actor, and because I watched Artemis Fowl and that had Colin Farrell in it, we're going there.
All right.
So it's movie synopsis edition. So I'll give you the synopsis and you've got to figure out which one of his movies it is. After defeating the Persian Empire, this bloke leads his army across the continent, venturing further than any person from his country has ever gone. From 2004.
Is it Alexander?
It's Alexander. Nice one. Yeah.
Thanks.
So was
part of me wanted to be like 300.
Oh, yeah. I was also thinking, is he in Troy?
That's must have been around then.
It must have been similar sort of era. Okay, what about this one? This is super easy, by the way. A young elephant who's redacted, enabled him to redacted, helps save a struggling circus. But when the circus plans a new venture, the main character and his friends discover dark secrets beneath its shiny veneer. I had to redact some of the words.
You did. That definitely made it more difficult for anyone who might be a Dumbo.
Nice. From last year. Yeah. Mm. I can't believe it feels like years ago that movie.
I know.
I mean, obviously it was years ago that there was a Dumbo, but that one.
But that's because bloody Tim Burton loves making a creepy circus movie.
Mm. We didn't need it to be creepy.
What did Big Fish?
Oh, Big Fish. That's
and there was
right.
some other circus movie. I'm sure he's done a trilogy of circus stuff.
Which was the one with wasn't Reese Witherspoon in a movie about a circus? Like set in the or is that Big Fish? No, she wasn't in Big Fish, was she?
I'm thinking of like Chicago or something.
And all that jazz. Maybe.
Yeah.
Which one are we up to? Publicist Stuart Shepherd finds himself trapped in a phone booth, pinned down by an extortionist's sniper rifle. Unable to leave or receive outside help, his negotiation with the caller leads to a jaw-dropping climax. You know, I've never seen this movie.
Didn't you say phone booth at the beginning?
Yeah.
Okay, phone booth. It's all right. It's not the best, but I remember seeing it in cinemas and I enjoyed it.
Was that the one that sort of like was that his breakout? I think it was.
It was a bit of his breakout, yeah.
Who was the bad guy? Was it Kiefer Sutherland? I feel like.
And you don't see him until the very, 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 very end.
Yeah, right. 2002.
No, look, that movie holds up. Well, I'm sorry. That movie at the time was good fun. I have no idea if it holds up because who uses a phone booth other than like drug dealers or FBI informants?
That's a good point.
Or hacking teens in the 90s.
Do you know what I used to do with phone booths is we used to go into them, press whatever buttons needed to be pressed so that the phone would ring.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'd run away giggling. There was no one around, but it was hilarious.
Children these days will never know the source of free coins that a phone booth could be.
Always check.
Yeah. You never know. You might get enough to get yourself some red frogs.
Yum, red frogs. See if you can figure out this movie, a case involving drug lords and murder in Florida. South Florida, to be exact, takes a personal turn for undercover detectives Sonny Crockett and Ricardo Tubbs. Unorthodox Crockett gets involved romantically with the Chinese Cuban wife of a trafficker of arms and drugs, while Tubbs deals with an assault on those he loves. From 2006.
That's Miami Vice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who was his partner in that movie? Who was the other cop?
Was it Jamie Foxx?
Yeah, Jamie Foxx.
Yeah.
Good.
I don't remember that movie much. TV show I remember better.
Yeah, well, that may, yeah. Last one. A man blinded by toxic waste, also, which also enhances his remaining sensor. Yeah. Who is his character? Do you remember?
Bullseye, which I don't believe he gets given a name other than Bullseye in the film. I don't think he's Dexter. I don't think he's Lester.
Hmm.
I think he's just Bullseye.
Just Bullseye. 2003. Mm. So that was just after Phone Booth.
And that was him swinging for the fences, going with a big crazy role.
Mm.
It is a very over-the-top performance. It's good fun.
Mm. Opposite Ben Affleck.
Yes, who's not having fun. Should be having fun, wants to be having fun, but is playing a character that can't have any fun.
Yeah, right.
Mm.
Yeah. That's it. Well done. You got all of those, thanks. Right? Yeah.
Oh. Well, I Pharrell, I'm glad. I'm glad Pharrell.
Yeah.
Nah.
I can't think of how to get Colin in there.
No. What, you want to shove it in your colon?
That's it. Good work. Good work. That's it for the episode. I think we did really well seeing we're exhausted.
Mm. Go team.
Go team. On that note, Tom. Thank you very much.
To be sure.
To be sure.
To be sure.
To be sure.